Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I worked with our guest, today's guest, Ray Hanania, for years at City Hall. He was the City Hall writer for the Southtown, for the Chicago Sun-Times, and I was at the Daily Calumet and then later the Chicago Tribune. Nobody gave us a silver spoon. Nobody protected us or worried about our feelings. Nobody said, Ray, John, are you okay? How are you feeling today? Are you okay? Nobody. They might call us a racist. They might say we were not fit for public consumption, but we were reporters, City Hall reporters. And Ray has written a column that he sent to me, and I published it at johncastnews.com, which is brilliant. And it comes at a time right when Brendan Johnson and Paul Vallis sit down for their debate this week. And it exposes, without being explicit, but it exposes the problems facing the hard political left in this county, with Toni Preckwinkle as the boss of the hard left Democrats, because she's supporting and backing Kim Fox for state's attorney. And Kim Fox is backed by George Soros, the billionaire financier of the hard left. And I've got a backstory on that too, as many of you know. And the Tribune wanted to shut me up about it. The Tribune Guild did. And they slandered me to shut me up. And I just, you know, I refused to shut up. Because what we're seeing now is the culmination of all this stuff. You see it in Atlanta. You see it with the with protesters marching on the police facility in Atlanta. You see Antifa and hard left radical elements from all over the country gathered in Atlanta. And we'll probably have that here too. Just get your mind around it. Because the people of Chicago are going to fight and protect and want to protect their neighborhoods and their city. And there are others who don't want them to protect those neighborhoods in the city. They'd rather have the people of Chicago roll up into a fetal position and ask the cops to roll up in a fetal position and just let chaos and aggression take over. And that's where we're at right now with Ray Hanania and my good friend Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN, and me, John Cass, executive editor of johncassnews.com. And all this is swirling around as the barking of dogs in the middle of Lent, and people are trying to save the city. Will it be saved? We don't know. Can you see your way in the boulevard of broken dreams? Because that's the Chicago way on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, Ray Hanania.
Hey, good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Ray. Your column today, incidentally, it's leads johncastnews.com. The column today was brilliant and timely because Toni Preckwinkle, the sensible shoes, the boss of the Cook County Democrats, endorses her boy, her champion, Brendan Johnson. And by doing so, she exposes, in your column exposes the underbelly and the weakness of the hard left in Cook County. I don't know if it's ever going to be defeated, but the attitude of Kim Fox towards law enforcement and punishment and police is much to be desired. And I wonder if voters will put that together and realize what they're letting themselves in for if they support Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, I was talking with Jeff Carlin, a great producer, but just before the show, and I was talking about how when you look at all the stories that have been written about this kind of stuff, a lot of reporters don't know how to write anymore. They don't write the story. That it's like spin. They don't get all the facts in there. They just want to spin it.
They want snark.
Yeah, you don't get the full impact of what Fox has done to crime. She cares more about criminals. I mean, really, if you're a criminal, there's stories about criminals being arrested on the border of Cook County in DuPage County, and they grab him, and he goes, oh, this is Cook County, right? And the police officer goes, no, this is DuPage County. And he goes, ah, darn.
Right.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes.
Enjoy your stale bologna sandwiches, because we're not going to give you vichyssoise and lamb shanks. Yes.
Yeah, you're going to spend a few days locked up for sure.
You know, clearly media is broken. Okay, it's broken over time. Yes, we were there at City Hall as it started to break, but there were people in the press corps then that, and I don't want this to be like it was so great back then and it's not great now, but snark is not a substitute for perspective, and this the Kim Fox story, the one that you wrote today, is all about perspective. Can Cook County, can Chicago sustain itself as we're going into the election debate, the mayoral debate today? Can it sustain itself, Ray and Jeff?
When I read the column I wrote, the first, I'd say, eight paragraphs are basically the news that was never really written. It came from, you had to like search the reports and the stories. But when you put it all together, it's like outrageous what this kid did, you know, who went on, 6 or 8 months later to kill, you know, that police officer, Vasquez Lasso. He should have never been, they should have never let him out. They should have never been lenient. Look what happens when you're lenient. You give this criminal another chance to do something terrible, and he gets in a fight and shoots and kills a police officer.
Well, there's nothing wrong with. I don't think there's anything wrong with being compassionate and fair. But when you go overboard and release violent people because you're playing a race game of only white cops deserve punishment, and everyone else who's in the criminal justice system is a victim of, what is it? What do they call that? Racism. It turns to be bullshit.
Right.
And people read it, and Jeff and Ray, people see this. Here's my question. They see it, but do they hold the political actors responsible? I mean, they know who Kim Fox is. They know who George Soros is. They know what happened to me with the political left trying to destroy me and as I left the Chicago Tribune. But do they put it together about how it's affecting them in their lives?
It's only when they understand the true essence of a story. When you and I were at City Hall, we wrote news. We didn't sit there and say, is this going to make Daily look good? Is this going to make Byrne look good? Is it going to make them look bad? We got and we were driven by getting the best factual details to put in our story because it made us look good as writers. So when someone would read our story, they understood it completely. You leave out stuff from the story and you think, oh, yeah, Montano, yeah, drop the felony charges. Why not? He's just a teenager.
Right.
You know, give him misdemeanor, give him time served or let him do community service for 25 days. But that's only because you don't hear the whole story. And that's what's happening today. The public doesn't hear the depth of the problem. So they're confused. And I think that's how Fox survives. And she's being propped up by a media that doesn't do its job. They don't report the facts the way they should be reported.
I think that's 100% spot on. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, Ray, you kind of nailed it on the head earlier when we were getting ready to hear that you have to read to four or five different stories from different reporters to even get partially close to the full story. And then, you know, follow up with CWB, you know, a couple of days later to get the full story. And it's damaging. I mean, it's terrible. And then when you get someone like a Kim Fox in front of a live interviewer, which rarely ever happens, you know, she won't answer questions. She does the whole Hollywood thing where she spins it, flashes a smile and says, no, you got it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. It's really bless great. Everything's yeah. Bless your heart, John Cass. Like that's the stuff that comes out and you're like, okay, well, maybe things are so good. You know, maybe yeah,
right.
And then it becomes, you know, enough times of repetition. People then just, that's what it is. They think, oh, well, it's not that bad.
And who's complaining? Who's complaining? But Ray Hanania and John Cass and Jeff Carlin, the old crusty but benign.
And then they attack us because we're doing our jobs and we get attacked for it. You know, in the old days, honest, Jan, when we were reporters, and I hate keep going back to that, but we would have seen a nexus in what happened. The real concern here is that on July 27th, this Arab kid gets caught in Oak Lawn with a gun. July 28th, this Montano suspect who goes on, you know, who was involved in a shooting of another person gets arrested. Those happened in the same, like within a day of each other.
Right.
And one guy goes on to kill a cop. I don't know what's going to happen with the other one. I have no idea. But that point should, that to me is the most important part of this. Those incidents, and these are just two. There's so many out there that don't even get covered anymore because we don't treat criminals as criminals. We only wait till somebody dies and then we blame the police.
Ray, when the criminal, when someone who is charged with several felonies or, you know, mass shootings or shooting a police officer, when that happened, there were people called editors.
Yes.
I want people to understand this. There were actually creatures, human creatures, who were literate and called editors. And they would demand that reporters go out and tell the full story.
Right.
Kind of the way people, that's why I always give hat tips to CWB Chicago. Because the Tribune and the Sun-Times used to do this work, as did the Southtown, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
We all did it.
Sun-Times, Tribune, that was back in the day. Today, it's embarrassing. I honestly, the City Hall press room, and I don't know if this is too critical, but I can't stand the reporting. They just don't do a good enough job. If I were there, I'd be ripping her apart. I'd be ripping Lightfoot apart, digging into the story, not just being a flack for her, you know, writing her what she says and then running with that story. That's not good enough.
You know, they're more interested in being snarky to each other. Like, oh my God, like the Tribune Guild guy, Pratt will rip into
he's
somebody.
Terrible.
I don't care about your snark, man. I want to know how many people did these alleged offenders shoot, allegedly, and how many times they were released into the public so they could shoot again. I mean, let the public know.
Back then, we would have done that story. We would have said, wow, in the last 3 months, 50 people were arrested and teenagers with gun-related charges. All of them have been reduced. How many of them went on to do worse things? And that number is pretty high. And nobody seems to care. The media doesn't.
So why, Jeff?
We've talked about this plenty of times, but I think the editing thing, there's no downward pressure on reporters to do better. It's the same way there is not, you know, in a sense, or the complaint is that you know, a lot of these young officers, there's not enough downward pressure for them to do better. And there's this idea that these things kind of overlap, but this problem that stems from Kim Fox. I mean, every day there's a headline or two or three or four of, you know, a young teen arrested. We can't charge him. We don't have enough to get a felony conviction. So we're just going to slap him on the wrist and send him on his way.
Because you don't want to be a racist.
Well, right. Well, that's
the thing. You won't say anything. Because if you say something like, are you kidding me? This guy has a rep sheet as long as it's your arm. But if you say that, you are a racist.
Exactly.
Heaven forbid.
If they don't want the numbers, that's the problem. They don't want the numbers to stack up and saying, well, you know, look, there's a, you know, 90% or 80%, whatever the number is, of arrests or of young black men are being held for longer than their white counterparts. And it's okay. Well, that might be the reality, but it's not, you know, it's not a racist reality. It's just the reality. And if the underlying problems are there that lead to black men being in this lifestyle, well, let's address that, but let's not just let them have free range over the city to, you know, murder people at will or rob people at will or get in a car accident and take off with a person's car. I mean, this whole thought that Kim Fox says, she's, well, the number, look, we're doing a great job. We're doing a great job. We're making this an equitable system. No, you're not. Right, you're choosing not to prosecute someone based on their race, based on their economic sense, you know, their economic situation. And that's way worse. This is about justice. This is about crime and punishment. This isn't about, well, feelings and thoughts and prayers and all that crap. I mean, to your point, Ray, about the guns, you know, they want to restrict guns, to get all the guns off the street, get all the guns off the street. Well, if that's the case, then anybody who shows up in police custody who has a gun or is in a car with a gun, then they should be in jail for a long time. So then it doesn't become,
and it doesn't matter what their age is either.
Exactly. It doesn't become this revolving door of, well, you know, we got to get the guns off the street. Unless the gun was used by a teenager in a crime, then they can have it and go back and do their thing, because we can't get them to be found guilty. Well, then do your job better then, or hire better people, or hire people who aren't just equity hires, or hire people who aren't just friends of friends, or hire people who have a great Twitter following. I mean, that's the stuff that drives me insane as a citizen of the city. And the solution is, and we've talked about it all the time, is Kim Fox has to go.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring it down to the mayoral race. We're going to have a debate today, this afternoon, as we record this. And the Chicago Way will come back in a few days to discuss the debate. But how does this manifest itself, this issue that you're all talking about?
It won't come up in the debate. Not the specifics of this won't come up in the debate. There won't be a reporter that will press this issue. They won't do it. If you and me were on that debate panel, this would be the first question.
Right.
How do you justify this? But the a lot of reporters won't ask those questions anymore because it doesn't fit into their narrative.
You understand why, and everyone should understand why. What happened to me about a year and a half ago is my reputation was destroyed by the hard left, the pro-Breckwinkle, pro-Soros left, because I dared to criticize George Soros and what was going on in the criminal justice system of Cook County. And now they've got their mark. They know what's going to happen if any of them raise their voices. I did because of the readers that we have at John Cass News, and thanks for supporting me. I could do that, but others can't. And so they're whipped in like dogs into the corner by, you know, torture, by people with torturous intent. The left is like that. And the sad part is, who dies, who cries, who weeps? Black people, black children and moms weep because of the killing. And no one can, you can't even say it.
Yeah, and the irony is that these politicians that are playing this game are doing it because they think it bolsters their vote in their community, and it's their community that's suffering. It's their community, the kids that are being killed. It's their community of kids that are turning into street gang members. You know, I don't want to miss the opportunity to point out how I read 30 stories on this because I had to get all the facts. It was like, oh my God, can't somebody, one person write a good story about what happened?
It's called reporting, Ray.
Yeah, right. It is. It wasn't there. But one thing I discovered by accident, I was on Twitter and Alderman Raymond Lopez posted that this kid that was charged with, you know, in July 28th, 2022, who went on, you know, to kill Vasquez allegedly. I don't mind saying that, but the suspect, they were driving around in a car with three people. They shot somebody. They were convicted of it. They were training a 15-year-old to learn how to shoot a gun. Did you read that in any of the stories?
Your story, but I did not read it. I didn't read it in the Tribune or something. I wonder why I didn't read it in the Trib.
Because they don't want to give, they don't want to pile it on to make this guy look as bad as he was. They had softened it and gone along with the trend to make him look like, oh, you know, let's lessen the penalty. Let's not make it worse. But it is worse, and they should have reported it. And you know, Alderman Raymond Lopez said they know this guy, what kind of person he is. You know, so nobody went to Lopez. They should have interviewed him. They should have done big stories about that way back in July 28, 2022, when the suspect was first arrested with two other buddies, including that 15-year-old, and nothing was done. That story would have been one that we would have written. We would have made it into a front page story.
Well, here's what would happen. Back in the day, well, when Daley was mayor, or when Byrne or any of Gene Sawyer, or Harold Washington, if this had happened, we would immediately, the next day, that day, like you write the column, and we all gather, the press corps gathers around the mayor at a news conference, and we ask about it pointedly, like, Mayor, what is your relationship with the prosecutor? Are you still supporting Kim Fox? And what about Kim Fox's relationship and being protected by Tony Preckwinkle? We would pound that until we got an answer. Like, sir, Mayor, are you supportive of this, what's going on in the prosecutor's office, or not? And they would hate us, and we would be called racist, because that's what they do.
Instead, they go up to the mayor and they'll say, isn't it sad that a Chicago police officer got killed by somebody? And then they'll say, yeah, it is. Something. Here's my press release. Take my quotes. All right. Thank you. That'll be the front page of the Tribune. Okay.
Because somebody did something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And to be fair too, this upcoming the forum or debate that's going to happen today is going to be moderated by Marianne Ahern, who, I mean, we've seen
her. She's tough.
Tough. She's stared down plenty of mayors as well as you guys have, and I think we'll get to some of that, but I don't think she'll get close.
And that's because the media is, you know, there's a corporate ownership consolidated into a few hands,
right?
You know, they answer to business people now. They don't answer to an editor,
right?
And the business people are of the left. And they have relationships with,
or they're afraid of the left. I mean, that, let's be honest. I mean, they'll get shut down and protested, or God forbid, looted if something, you know, breaks out in the city.
I don't know. Or they're going to be invited to WTTW, you know, cocktail parties, or
they can be celebrities.
Yeah, or they'll be invited to Arne Duncan black tie events, right? Like, let's help the offenders, right? Stop killing.
You know, there are a lot of good reporters out there, but when you got dumped by and hit by the Tribune,
oh man,
the fact that the reporters ganged up on you, the journalists ganged up on you because you were quote unquote, you know, conservative, that's that is the cost and price of all this stuff. They destroyed journalism. Those journalists should have stood up for you, whether they agreed with you or not. Well, it was unheard of.
Some did.
Yeah, some did.
Tom Bevin, Charles Lipson, Many
put them on the debate, you know, tonight. Let them ask the questions. Those are the ones that deserve to be asking the questions. The ones that stand up for journalism should be the ones that are on the front line confronting these politicians, but they're not.
I want everyone to, as we expand this or bring it to the issue, because it's not just about me, I want you to read, if you could, in American Greatness, Victor Davis Hanson's essay, Life Among the Ruins. I talked about it in the opening monologue, but I just want, I want to mention it. Quote, American society is facing three existential crises not unlike those that overcame the late Roman and a millennium later terminal Byzantine empires. We are suffering an epidemic of pre-modern barbarism. The signs unfortunately appear everywhere. Over 500,000 homeless people crowd our big cities downtowns. Most know that the result of such medieval street living is unhealthy, violent, and lethal for all concerned. Yet no one knows or even seems to worry about how to stop it. And I think that also applies to Chicago, does it not? I mean, we're having, guys, we're having a mayoral election in which the issue is crime. So that puts Brendan Johnson at a disadvantage because he's the one who said, let's defund the police. But if Paul Vallis wins this election, Ray Hanania and Jeff Carlin, will he be able to really do any, make any changes as long as Tony Preckwinkle protects Kim Fox and Tony Preckwinkle has the ear of the mayor, of the president of the United States?
That's a good question, because I think Paul Vallis would be the best choice. Brandon's speech on election night was very disturbing to me. It was so terrible. And nobody wrote about it. I didn't. I mean, some wrote about it. We did, but no, none of the major media did. They just let it pass. Like, oh yeah, he took some tough shots at Vallis. No, those were racist shots at Vallis. Right. That was horrible. But when Vallis gets into office, his problem is going to be this: he can toughen up the police department. He can put more police on the streets. But you're absolutely right. The problem then is when those police arrest these criminals and bring them to who? Kim Fox and the state's attorney. And she decides. I've talked to police departments over the last few years, and they all say the same thing. They, you know, the evidence shows that this is what they should be charged with, but she reduces the charges all the time. And they're unhappy about it, and they can't get her to do the right thing. And the media, instead of defending the police by saying, this is what's happening, we need to pressure Kim Fox, they just go along with whatever Kim Fox said and says, oh, yeah, you know, he was just a teenager, Montana. And, you know, there were three of them in the car and they shot some guy, but he was only hit in the leg. You know, he's only hit twice in the leg. So
you have a
let's
problem
just give him
with
24
Latinos?
Days. Yeah, or, right. And, you know, it's like, so he's up against the wall. He can't be successful unless the change expands to include Cook County. They have to replace Kim Fox. Her staying there is the charge, the electrical charge that fuels this movement of make the criminals a priority and forget about the law-abiding citizens.
They don't even see these people as citizens or people. I mean, they do, but they see the numbers. That's the part that kills me about this, is that it's this perceived idea that they say, well, our numbers need, we need to bring, you know, we're too many young people or black people or too many Mexicans or too many brown people, whatever it is, right, are being incarcerated. And here are the numbers. We got to bring those down. Well, that's not the reality. If the crime, if the, you know, the economic conditions, whatever it is, the poor school systems, whatever it is leading to these, you know, collections of people being in this lifestyle, yeah, that's a problem that needs to be addressed. But just throwing up your hand and saying, well, we can only arrest 5 black kids today because we've already, you know, we already hit our threshold. You know, we've only got this so many more to do, or two, you know, there's so many Mexican kids we've got, whatever it is, that's the way they're running things. And it's just completely ass backwards. And what are we seeing? We're seeing violence growing in all these other areas that, you know, wouldn't be because they're emboldened, because it says, well, you know, hey, worst case scenario, I'm out on the street tonight, or worst case scenario, I spend one day in lockup, you know, whoa, and then I'll be back out and do it again. And how many of these kids are, you know, well, you know, third time for, I mean, we had Tim Evans say, you know, a young boy who's 17, you know, maybe he needs a third, fourth, fifth chance because, you know, he's a young kid. No.
The 8-year-old girl.
Right.
Alyssa Ortega is dead.
Right, exactly. Yes. No, that's not how it is. You've got to
Timmy.
You've got to make people feel safe, and you got to make criminals feel scared. That's at full stop, and then that doesn't exist.
Ray, you and I have been around so long that we remember Timmy Evans back in the day when Rich Daley was backing and protecting Tony Preckwinkle to take Timmy Evans out in the 4th Ward. How long? What the hell happened to this city?
What happened? Evans, he was a pretty good alderman. I'm not sure about, you know, the way he is today. A lot of them have lost their guts. Nobody has the cojones to stand up and say the right thing. It's so much easier just to go along with it. You got a career, you got a pension, you just don't care. And they won't do anything. I'm really tired of people that come up to, you know, police officers and say, thank you for your service, especially politicians, the way they use the police. They wrap themselves up with, we love the police, we stand by the police, but they won't stand by, you know, the police when the police know better about crime and recommend that somebody is a threat. And nobody takes them seriously.
All right. Well, what about this case in Oak Lawn? Because I can speak from experience. I've taken a beating in Oak Lawn before while I was a criminal, a felon, and I deserved it. But what you reported on as part of this whole thing was a young man of Arab American kid who had allegedly had a gun on him, and he was fighting with police to protect the gun and protect and stop himself from being arrested. Now, that's a deadly thing to do.
Yes, it is. It's terrible. Listen, I've had 2 kids. If any of my kids had a gun, I would beat the crap out of them for their own good, to get them away from guns. But instead, this kid sitting in the back seat, that first of all, the scenario is horrible. You got the driver in the front seat, a teenager, and another teenager in the back seat with this gun in a bag. What is that about? You know, passenger sitting in the back seat and no one in shotgun in the front right seat, right? What are they doing?
You're doing a drive-by. That's what you're doing.
Something that isn't good, whatever it is. We can't even explore that because right away they say, oh, you hate Arabs. The only reason they're doing this is because he's an Arab. Listen, I'm Arab, and I'm just excited to be able to speak out against this because they can't attack me and say, oh, you hate Arabs. No, I'm an Arab, so you can't attack me for that. But when they stopped the car, the police smelled marijuana. They politely asked the driver to get out of the car. He was treated with the utmost respect. They moved him to the side. They didn't handcuff him. They didn't rough him up. He did what the officer told him to do. He did everything right. Then the second kid in the back seat, the police officer says, leave the bag on the back seat. It's really heavy. It looked, you know, it looked like something. And instead, the kid steps out with the bag and then runs. And then when the police finally get him, he's on the ground, on his stomach. He has the bag under his stomach, and he's holding it with both hands. You don't know what he's doing with that bag. You don't know what he's doing with anything. It could have been anything. So they're pounding him. They're punching him to get him to surrender, basically, and do what. And if he would have done it, they never would have hit him. But this has turned around into police brutality because the kid of his own volition caused this, but the police are blamed for it. To me, that's just wrong. It's terrible.
I shouted out when we were busted, 17 years old, about the same age. We were going to a party. Pammy Barrdale had a big party on a boat, and we were going down, and we had some pot, a quarter pound, which was a felony beef back then. Although we didn't want, we weren't drug dealers. We just had it to give to the party. And the first thing I remember, the cops pulling us over. There's this big copper, like 6'5". Guys who, those days, coppers knew how to put their hands on people. And I shout out, I'm in the parking lot, 95th Street parking lot of Walgreens, and White Castle. And I shout out to everybody, don't talk until you speak to a law. I was trying to say lawyer, but I didn't get the L-A-W out of my mouth before a backhand came. A big, it's honor of St. Patrick's Day, a big Irish-American backhand, like coming from a guy as big as John Wayne, whapping me. And, if I had gone to my father and said, hey, Dad, those cops hit me in the mouth for saying that. And my dad would say, what did you do? You had pot? And he'd jump on me and kick my ass.
My dad would have done the same thing. But they don't do that anymore.
Right.
And that's really the problem.
So, Ray, a wonderful time to talk to you. And I hope we get together again and talk about how we can't eat lamb anymore. Yeah.
And we're getting old.
What?
We're survivors. We're getting old.
Yeah, we're getting old. But you know what? We stay alive on bitter fruit.
Yes,
bitter
we do. Yes,
like reality.
Yes,
somebody's got to help these people in Chicago.
I refuse to leave this world with all this injustice out there that needs to be reported. I am not. They're going to have to drag me out of this life to get me to stop writing this stuff.
Well, I'm just going to keep writing from beautiful Northwest Indiana now that I don't have to deal with it. But I still feel sorry for all my friends there and all of my friends in the police force and all the, what I really feel sorry for? The Democrats, okay? I've given them a lot of crap, but really, they don't know what to do. They have Tony Preckwinkle and Kim Fox as their standard bearers. And Brendan Johnson, defund the police as the hero. Where does it end? You know where it ends? It ends with the death of a city, and I don't want to see that happen. Do you?
No. No.
Ray, before we let you go, you got to give me one good John Cass City Hall story.
Well, when he came to City Hall, Harry Golden yelled at him and said, no, you can't get out of here, because he didn't have a desk in the City Hall press room. And Harry had this gravelly New York accent. He got growling at Cass. And I remember talking to John. I said, listen, John, tell him you're working with me on a story. And then they can't do nothing. He'd come to my desk, and I was with the Southtown, a community paper, and John would come in and sit at the desk and use the phone there. And Harry'd be looking over at him like, rawr, rawr, like growling all the time. But John had some great stories.
He didn't like it, but there was a little brass plate on the desk that I was sitting on, and it said the Daily Calumet.
Yeah, that was put in though after. When Byrne, wasn't that when
no,
Byrne decided she was going to bring in all the community press?
Yeah, well, I wasn't part of that. It was I came in after. And, look, there's a little clique of insiders in
the
press room.
There was. You were embraced. You were embraced eventually, believe me. Pretty quick.
Yeah, well, we had to look, there was no silver spoon in the mouth of Ray Hananier or John Cass. There wasn't like a society of journalists. Like there wasn't any, any kid glove treatment. There was none of that.
No, we were under siege in the City Hall press room.
And, but I loved it. I did.
Jane Byrne and all of them would walk past us with disgust sometimes. They'd walk past the press room and look at us.
The best was Freddie Rohde gave us a hot TV and Alderman of the First Ward. And we used to get porn on it, you know, porn, but just not, the sound.
On TV, it was called On TV. Yeah, right. On TV. That was the cable.
Remember,
the
it was like you couldn't see anything, but the sound was clear.
It was like split because we didn't subscribe to it, but you could see the right half and the left half switched around, but you could still see the naked women.
So we would turn it up loudly. Ray and I would turn it up loud on council day, Tuesday mornings, as the alderman walked past our office to the city council, and the screams of lust and
ecstasy,
and ecstasy would follow them down the hall.
And, you know, the only thing bad about that TV was that they filled that cabinet with the booze that we would get, and they would lock that. There was a key that we keep that lock that was in Bob Davis's drawer.
We didn't get – where did you – I didn't get any booze.
That ended. Listen, when I got there in 78, they were handing out booze like crazy. Crown Royal, you know, Roman Paczynski would bring in this Polish vodka because that was so strong. Harry would use it to clean his shoe. It was so strong.
The good old days.
And then eventually it changed. It changed. No booze, no cigarettes, no smoking. Even the cursing. I wonder, do they even swear in the press room today? I doubt it.
All right. Well, for Ray, that's been great. And we'll have to go to lunch soon, okay? This is great therapy for me. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my very good friend, and established media critic in Chicago. And for Ray Hanania, longtime and veteran Chicago journalist, where can people read your stuff, Ray? Say again.
Hanania.com.
Yes.
All the links to everything I do.
As we put that in the column today, and please go to his site and read what he has to say, because you know what? There's some common sense there, some Southwest Side common sense. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, where you get your common sense. Thanks for joining us. And God protect Chicago on the Chicago Way on WGN+.